Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Glad you're with us. The Hoosier Report always presented by CC Power Sports. And we've got a ton of stuff to get to today. IU football, a big road win over the weekend. It looked a little scary early as far as the score. And of course, Michael Penix goes out of the game midway through the second period. But Peyton Ramsey and the Hoosiers find a way to finish the game. They get the victory at Maryland. They've won five games now on the season. This team, I don't see any way about around it. They're definitely going to be bowl eligible. They're going to get that sixth win. And you know what? If they can get Penix back, if they can continue and build on what they've done, maybe this is a team that takes it beyond the six-win marks. Maybe they get to seven, or a dream situation, I think, right now for this team and program. Eight victories in the regular season, but some interesting games ahead at Nebraska as the road swing continues for Indiana next week. It's definitely, I think if you look at Nebraska, a winnable game for IU football, a tough one, but winnable on the road Saturday, and that is going to be a lot of fun to talk about. This IU football team, they're going to be in all sorts of bowl projections as a five-win team that is assumed we'll get to number six here in the next few weeks. So we'll talk some about that today as well. And, of course, from a basketball perspective, IU and Marquette, they played in a secret scrimmage on Sunday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And the box score has been released, and there have been some other notes out from the game, but nothing too serious. It's closed. No media can attend, only the players, only the coaches, only the essential personnel allowed into the arena for the game. And so we'll talk about that. Indiana did not win the scrimmage, but it was close. And I think just looking at the box score, breaking the box score down, you can't see anything. All you have to rely on is the box score and what it tells. Some very interesting things and some very positive things from the box score can be told, I believe, about this Indiana team and their 72-69 loss, if you want to call it that, to Marquette yesterday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. There was a video out, Marquette's basketball account. You can find them on Twitter. They put a video out of some highlights. It's a real chopped-up video that basically includes some highlights for Marquette, some big shots, a couple blocks, some different fast break opportunities for the team. And it's almost eerie to watch the clip because you see the players and the coaches standing up and you can hear them yelling and screaming and getting excited and shouting directions, but the stands are empty. I mean, literally managers, players, coaches, that's about all you can see. And of course the scoreboard operator, and I'm sure some other people associated with both programs, but kind of crazy to see a game, up and down game going on in Bankers Life Fieldhouse with nobody in the stands whatsoever. So we'll talk a lot about that, at least what we know, what we could tell from the box score coming up here in just a bit in our headline segment as well. Lots to get to today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, it's a Monday, so we start off with our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor. We'll do that in just a second. Also, our Zaxby's headlines, where we will review IU football's win, some bowl projections as well for the football team, and we'll talk more about some of the highlights and the box score, some of the good things I think you can take from the box score on Sunday. We'll do that coming up in our headline segment in this first segment. Also later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He always is with the program on Mondays, and we'll talk IU football and basketball, an extended chat coming up with Zach today, since we had a football game to break down and also IU basketball secret scrimmage to talk about as well. And then later in the program, we get some local sports and high school discussion with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He'll join us for a quick chat today on high school football, week 9 of the regular season, the final week of regular season games. Everything is in the book, and now we look for the sectional tournaments to begin on Friday. Most of our area teams have a game this Friday night, the 5A teams. So Jeff, Floyd Central, New Albany, they do not play until Friday, November 1st. So essentially, they have a bye week coming up because of just four-team 5A sectional. But we'll talk some about that with Chad when he's with us. Today's the start of girls basketball official practices as well. So the high school basketball season from the girls' perspective is here. Their games will begin in just a few weeks from now. Boys' practices begin in less than a month from now. Their games obviously start right the week of Thanksgiving. Lots of fun times coming up here in the area. So many great players. Even on the girls' side, I was thinking about some of the front runners maybe in the area for high school girls' basketball and some of the top players and players that can go on to play college ball. We are just absolutely loaded in this area right now with boys and girls, good prospects. So we have some of that to talk about with Chad Gilbert today. And that's the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. It's presented every Monday on this program by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Thanks to Sordano's, who gives a free 14-inch pizza away to the winner of this award every week. We get to highlight some outstanding performances in high school football. And now that the regular season is concluded, you look back and we have had just some outstanding games and some outstanding performances. Even in weeks when maybe local teams haven't done so well, we've had big performances, as you would expect, each and every week. I want to start taking a look at some of our, we'll call them runner-up performances, but these players all deserve a game ball for their efforts on Friday night. Winkers Wright of Floyd Central, he had 216 yards rushing, one touchdown for the Highlanders as they win another game on the road at Seymour. Floyd Central, the favorite, I think, in the 5A sectional that begins a week from this Friday. We'll see if the Highlanders can get it done and move on to regional play. Miles Johnson at New Albany, 29 carries for 244 yards. He had three touchdowns. He's only a sophomore. It's a very young New Albany team, and he's been one of the leaders of this New Albany team that have now won three straight games to close the regular season as they get ready for a rematch with Jeffersonville. Speaking of Jeff, big performance Friday night, Sean Wimberly. He was 13 of 23 passing. He totaled 180 yards and two touchdowns for the Red Devils. He's had a nice season as well. And also, don't have the full stat line, but another big performance by Charlestown and Marion Lukes. He's been one of our highlight players all season long. Another big performance from him on Friday night. Six straight victories by the Pirates as they will rematch with Brownstown this Friday night. The Boneyard in Charlestown will be rocking. Can Charlestown knock off Brownstown? They almost got them in week 2 of the regular season. Charlestown had the football in the final minutes of the game with the opportunity to go ahead. Brownstown was able to get it back, score, and win the game. But that will be a interesting game to watch this Friday night in sectional play. And Marion Lukes, you can't find any way around it that he won't have a big performance with some big numbers in this postseason game against Brownstown coming up on Friday. But all that said, those are some of our game ball winners this week. Let's highlight our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Clarksville Jr. Davon Fuqua is this week's winner of our award, presented by Sordano's. Fuqua is just a junior. He rushed for 265 yards. He had a total of six touchdowns as Clarksville scored a big win over North Harrison in the regular season finale on Friday night. Let's think about this for a second. Fuqua obviously has had a huge performance, on Friday. Obviously, he's been a key player for this Clarksville team. And I'll tell you this, he did not play in the first matchup of the season of Clarksville and Providence, who will play this coming Friday. In fact, it's going to be the game that we have here on the Big X as our feature game this week. He did not play against Providence. So could Clarksville get a fourth win of the season Friday night against Providence, their town rival in sectional play? We'll have to see. But Fuqua's performances have triggered this Clarksville team to what really, you think, a three-win season? Is that really a great season? For Clarksville, unbelievable season. A win over North Harrison is huge. It's their biggest football victory in years. This team was 46 straight losses coming into the season. Early in this season, they beat Eastern Pekin in Week 2. They beat Cordon in Week 8. They beat North Harrison in Week 9. Clarksville football sure looks a lot different than it did, I'm sure, for opponents and other coaches in the area before this season. But Davon Fuqua, a junior, huge performance, 265 yards, 6 total touchdowns in the game. Huge win by Clarksville. Can Clarksville surprise Providence? Can they get to Week 2 of the postseason? And whoever wins Clarksville-Providence could maybe get to the championship game. The winner that they're going to take on, whoever it is, won't have a great record in that second week of the football playoff. So congratulations to Davon Fuqua, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Hometown pizza at its best. Their pizza is thin crust. It's made to order and sliced in squares. Sordano's Pizza is squarely the best, and Davon Fuqua the best in Week 9 of high school football with a big-time performance for the Generals. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with a location both in New Albany and Jeffersonville. IU and Marquette, a secret scrimmage, nobody there. Some very interesting takes, I think, from the box score. And first off, I want to start off with just going through some notes of the game. Marquette wins it 72-69. The game was played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Devontae Green and point guard Rob Fennessy did not play a minute, not at all, in the secret scrimmage game. No real indication that either are injured. Remember, they did not play in the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage either. The word is this is just simply a rest opportunity for them as we get closer to the exhibition game and the true start of the season. So neither one of those guys played. Devontae Green obviously is going to have to be a big offensive performer for this Indiana team if they're going to find success this season. So to come within 3 points of a Marcus Howard-led Marquette team without Devontae Green, without Rob Fennessy, who logged a lot of minutes last year and is going to be, I would think, even more relied on to handle the ball this year, especially with Green playing off the ball more, I think that's a successful day. Al Durham, he had a nice game but did not play in the final 8 minutes of the game. Armand Franklin of this Indiana team was really one of the standouts. I don't think there's any question about it if you look at the box score, and I'm going to find his line for you. Armand Franklin of Indiana, he played 29 minutes and 21 seconds, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from three-point range, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. The freshman newcomer, 14 points, 3 assists, and 1 steal in the game for Indiana. He's probably the newcomer that we've talked the least about heading into this season, but a big performance from him over the weekend as Indiana falls in a close game to Marquette. Secret scrimmage. Trace Jackson Davis, also a good game. Joey Brunk was solid. If you look at the box score yesterday, Brunk had 11 points. Trace Jackson Davis, 11 points as well. So Franklin, Brunk, Jackson Davis, the big performers in this secret scrimmage loss for Indiana. And, of course, from a defensive side of things, Armand Franklin, Joey Brunk, Race Thompson, lots of comments and write-ups that by word that leaks out from something like this that they were some of the big defenders for Indiana today that stepped up on that end of the floor as well. Jerome Hunter, he gets minutes. Obviously, it's notable that just he was able to play, that he was out there at all. And if he can even find a role coming off the bench early in the season for this team, and it looks very likely that he can help lift Indiana above some of the preseason expectations and predictions that are out there. A lot to take away from the box score. More coming up on that a little bit later in our program today. And I just want to note this as well. Bowl game projections for IU football. We're starting to see more and more bowl projections out. The 24/7 Sports has Indiana projected to the Red Box Bowl December 30th in Santa Clara, California, has them playing Arizona. ESPN has Indiana projected to the Gator / Tax Slayer Bowl against South Carolina, which is after the new year. It's a January 2nd date in Jacksonville, Florida. Another ESPN writer has Indiana projected in the Quick Lane Bowl against North Carolina State. That's right after Christmas, December 26th in Detroit. And the Orlando Centennial, they have Indiana projected for the Red Box Bowl against Arizona State, December 30th in Santa Clara as well. A couple other projections out there all have Indiana in the Red Box Bowl, all have Indiana's opponent as Arizona State. So keep in mind, though, Indiana, if they beat Nebraska over the weekend, if they can get a win Saturday, that likely not, I mean, obviously it guarantees them bowl eligibility, and what happens the rest of the season can affect what bowl they get in. But a win over Nebraska, and next Monday and Tuesday when more bowl projections come out, we're not talking about the Red Box Bowl probably for this Indiana team. We're talking about something a little bit better than that. But Indiana has to get a win if they want to up their bowl game discussion. And, of course, I'm sure Coach Allen's mentality right now is to get win number 6 no matter how it comes or where it comes so they can officially make a bowl appearance this season. That's a look at our headlines presented by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins the program. We'll talk IU football, their victory and performance on the road at Maryland over the weekend. We'll talk Michael Penix and his injury. We'll talk more about bowl games and projections for this Indiana team. And we'll talk IU basketball. We'll highlight some of the things that I've already mentioned in the box score from the IU Marquette secret scrimmage, with Marquette a 72-69 winner yesterday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. A commercial break coming up. We're back. This is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Zach Osterman joins the show on this Monday program. We'll talk IU football, a victory for the Hoosiers, a big one on the road at Maryland on Saturday. Also, IU loses to Marquette in a very close game, a secret scrimmage at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. We reviewed the box score and some of the known details from that game in the first segment, but we'll talk more about those happenings with Zach coming up in this segment right now as well. Zach, a big weekend for IU fans, both football and basketball. Let's start with football, work our way to hoops. How about the Hoosiers on the football field? They worked themselves to a 34-28 victory on the road at Maryland. That's win number 5. I think it's inevitable that this team is going to become bowl eligible and potentially bowl eligible here soon in the next few weeks. But what a game for Indiana. Lots to break down, lots to talk about. But most importantly, they go on the road and beat a fairly solid team.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the question a lot of people have asked is, has Indiana played any good teams yet? You know, and what's the best team Indiana's played so far this season? And the answer may be Ball State, when you look at the way that Ball State's rallied in its conference schedule. But I think the broader point is, Indiana football shouldn't be worried about beating good teams right now. I know that sounds weird, but like, Indiana football, the first step to becoming the kind of program Indiana wants to become here over, let's say, the next 5-7 years, is making a habit of beating all of the teams, and I know I've said this other times this season, making a habit of beating all of the teams that if Indiana was to lose those games, those teams would go to bowls instead. So beat the teams that finish 4-8, beat the teams that finish 5-7, and be the team that is consigning those teams to those records. And I think that when you look at kind of where Maryland was coming into this weekend, you know, there was very much a feeling on the Terp side that a loss Saturday would put their bowl hopes in doubt. And when you look at their schedule, you know, remaining, you can understand that. You now look at Nebraska this weekend. I think Nebraska is probably going to a bowl, whether they beat Indiana or not. But Indiana could be in a position to sort of push Nebraska behind them in the bowl pecking order in the Big Ten if they were to win on the road this weekend. Northwestern has, after Iowa this weekend, a relatively easy schedule on the run-in, but Indiana could, you know, kind of put any sort of ambitions Northwestern had to try and, win the last five and get to a bowl at 6-6, obviously in the trash bin with a win on, what's that, November 2nd. My point in this is it's an important win because you go on the road, you win the Big Ten as a road favorite. Indiana doesn't do that very often. It's an important win because there was a strong feeling both, you know, kind of as you were watching the game and then listening to Tom Allen talk about it afterward, that Maryland threw some things at Indiana. Indiana didn't expect that. Mike Loxley got a little bit creative, a little bit outside the box, and Indiana had to adjust to that. But it's also an important win because at the end of the day, if Indiana can get itself to a place where, let's say, 5 out of every 7 years, the Hoosiers get the 7 wins, in part by beating Maryland and Rutgers and Purdue and sweeping their non-conference schedule, and then maybe beating one other team that goes to a bowl, then that is an improvement that a coaching staff can build upon in recruiting, in bringing in new assistants, in just building a broader sort of excitement around the program. And then at that point, that's when you can talk about, all right, how do we take the next step up? How do we get to 8 wins or 9 wins consistently? It's one of those old, like, learn to crawl, then learn to walk, then learn to run things. This weekend was Indiana, you know, sort of firmly suggesting to the conference it has learned how to crawl and that it may be ready to stand up and walk.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest, talking IU football's win at Maryland. I think probably the most concerning part of the game was Michael Penix, the redshirt freshman quarterback. He went to the locker room sometime, I think it was the midway point of the second period. Coach Allen did address it after the game, didn't say a whole bunch, but did say he did not think it would be a long-term situation. What do you take away from Penix's injury, Penix leaving the game, and Coach Allen's comments? Obviously, he's been a big part to some excitement about this team, some playmaking ability for this team, although obviously Peyton Ramsey comes in and does just fine for this Indiana team as they get a win on the road. But what do you make of Penix's injury? What do you make of Peyton Ramsey getting some playing time Saturday in the road win for the team? And maybe moving forward, could we see both of those guys when Penix is back, given that Ramsey's come in now a couple times this year and offered good things for the team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to work backward, if Penix is healthy, he's going to be the starter. And I don't think Indiana would build in, you know, packages for Peyton Ramsey or anything like that, or rotate the two of them. That's just not, you know, Tom Allen has been pretty firm that's not how he wants to play it with his quarterbacks. He wants one guy. And if Penix is healthy, he's that one guy. I do think Indiana, you know, I mean, we said when Michael Penix won the starting job that Indiana probably had the best backup quarterback in the Big Ten. I think that's borne itself out. And obviously Ramsey's performance on Saturday, almost 250 total yards of offense and a touchdown, really keeping that offense ticking over when Penix went out. Even more than that, I think you can point back to Peyton Ramsey's work against Eastern Illinois, Peyton Ramsey's work against UConn. You know, I mean, UConn's a bad team. There's no doubting that. But to have a backup quarterback that can come in and give you such a comprehensive and comfortable win in a game like that, you know, it speaks to a level of maturity. And I think maybe a level of, I don't know exactly what the term would be for this group specifically, but just a level of comfort, I guess, that you can have when Peyton Ramsey's in the game to say, hey, we're going to be able to run all the same stuff. You know, we're not going to have to change the offense drastically. The playbook didn't just get chopped down by, you know, 10 pages or anything like that. The guy behind center is going to be collected. He's going to be poised. You know, he's won a lot of games for us. I think he's still, in fact, I think he's actually managed to improve his career, his sort of what right now would be a program record in completion percentage this year. But again, if Penix is healthy, he's the guy, and he's going to play, and he's going to be number one no matter what. You're right, Tom Allen did not kind of elaborate much on his status after the game on Saturday. I was about to say Sunday, and I was like, no, that's wrong. And so, you know, we'll find out more today when Allen speaks to the media. But you would imagine that if it was more serious, Allen probably would have said so. It wasn't really clear exactly what anybody was working on with Penix, although it did anecdotally seem like when he took that, he kind of scrambled on that second to last, on the last play of that second to last drive he was in. And when he got up, he just looked wobbly, which makes you wonder if maybe there's, you know, he's just in concussion protocol or, you know, something of that nature where Indiana's just being careful. Obviously, everyone is so much more sensitive to head injuries and those sorts of things than maybe we were even 5 or 10 years ago. But you did see Michael Penix taking pictures with fans after the game. I think he actually posed with the family of U.S. representative for the state of Indiana, Jim Banks. And so if there was some serious concern about something like a concussion, and I'm not sure that I wouldn't necessarily say flatly that's what it is, but if there was a concern like that, then you would imagine Indiana would have gotten Penix on a bus, gotten him, you know, into a really controlled setting in terms of light and noise discipline and things like that. So we can sit here and speculate all day. We may find out a little bit more from Allen today. We may not find out a lot until we see Indiana run out against Nebraska in Lincoln on Saturday. But if Michael Penix is healthy, he's your guy.
Zach, speaking of Nebraska, Indiana's next opponent, another road game for IU. They were defeated on Saturday by Minnesota 34-7, the final score there. I think probably before the season began, I think you had high hopes for Nebraska, if I remember correctly, in some of our preseason football chats. But I think before the
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. It must have been some other guy you talked to who picked Nebraska to win the Big Ten West and then upset Michigan in the Big Ten title game. That wasn't me. That definitely wasn't me.
But I think it's safe to say that any of us thought that this would be a really tough game for Indiana before the season started based on early projections for what Nebraska could potentially do this season. But now that this game is squarely looking IU in the face as their next opponent, looking at Nebraska recently and looking at what IU's been able to do, I guess Michael Penix and his return or not return could play a role in maybe how you feel about Saturday's game. But to become bowl eligible and to beat someone like Nebraska on the road, it would be another small step or maybe a big step forward for this program. Is a victory on the road against this Nebraska team with where they are at in this 2019 season, is it possible for Indiana?
I mean, I think it would do a few things for IU. Number one, and I mentioned this earlier, but it would put Nebraska behind Indiana in the bowl pecking order. And so, you know, the more you want to think about moving up, obviously, you know, I don't think Indiana fans should be flipping about going to a bowl game, period. But if you want to think about not having to go to Detroit in the Quick Lane Bowl, well, put Nebraska behind you. You know, beat Nebraska and stick Nebraska lower in the bowl pecking order than you. I think there's also probably some vouch for winning at Nebraska in terms of maybe the, you know, like, would we see Indiana a lot closer? I don't think they'd be ranked if they won, but I think we'd see Indiana a lot closer to a ranking. And I think that I know that Nebraska's obviously kind of going through a rocky rebuild with Scott Frost. But I think that not unlike winning at Assembly Hall in basketball, no matter what's kind of going on with Indiana, winning at Nebraska is going to carry a level of cachet, a level of prestige to it that I think would make people stand up and take notice of IU a little bit. You know, as much as anything else, and I've said this a few times in the last few weeks, I think sometimes, particularly we as reporters who spend a lot of time having to sift through cliches and truisms and, you know, and platitudes, we can want to trust what we see statistically, what we can track statistically, what we can sort of manage and break down analytically more than we want to trust intangibles. But I've also said a lot in the last few weeks, go read books like Friday Night Lights, go read books like Season on the Brink, and listen to what very successful coaches say and think about the mood around a season, the momentum around a season, the importance of intangibles like confidence and maturity and learning how to handle success and those sorts of things. Any coach will tell you that that can be as important as completion percentage or third down success rate or, you know, any number of statistics and analytics you can throw on a page. And if you're Indiana and you beat Nebraska after winning a close game at Maryland and everything that goes into that, you start to get to tell yourself a story. And I think I've used that phrase a few times when you and I have talked this year, but you start to get to tell yourself a story of, hey, this is a special season. We're 6-2. We've still got a bunch of winnable games left on the schedule. We just won at Nebraska, so we're not afraid of anybody. We're not afraid of going into any place and playing any team tough. You know, we're already bowl eligible. So from that perspective, the monkey's off the back and it's not even Halloween yet. You know, we can play the rest of the season with house money in the sense that we're not nervous about getting into a bowl game. And then you suddenly have a team that's just brimming with confidence and would come into a game like Northwestern and just, you know, just be able to play so free and so aggressive and so confident. Look at a game like Michigan, certainly a game like Purdue. And you don't want to get away from yourself. You know, I think that Bill Connelly's S&P Plus has, I think at the moment, actually 8-4 is Indiana's most likely final record. I think the probability is somewhere in the 30% range. But 7-5, 8-4 is very much kind of the target range, the median range for Indiana right now. You win a game like Nebraska, that median range probably moves more toward 8-4, toward 9-3. Statistically, and I think that in the minds of Indiana's players and coaches, it does too a little bit more intangibly. Everybody gets to look around and say, hey, this is what we were all waiting for. This is what we all built toward. This is why we were all here, and this is our moment. And then all of a sudden, you get a team playing with a lot of confidence and sort of playing like, hey, they don't know what they don't know. Indiana can become very dangerous over the last month of the season.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's always with me Mondays to talk all things IU, and I promise we're going to get to some basketball here in just a moment. But, Zach, I want to close the football portion of our conversation with bowl game projections. Now that Indiana has won its fifth game and now that we're at that point of the year where more and more people are taking stabs at making predictions for bowl games, it's interesting to see the different locations. Right now, the Red Box Bowl out in Santa Clara has been a common bowl that this Indiana team has been projected to at this point, of course. And this all has to hold true that they actually get the 6 wins. And based on our conversation, it does look very likely that this team has a great chance to at least get to 6. But the Gator Tax Slayer Bowl, that's another one. The Quick Lane Bowl, another bowl game that Indiana has been projected to. I think those are the three that I've seen are definitely the three most popular for this IU team to be slotted, at least right now after this past week of college football. You mentioned a point I was going to make, that if Indiana could go on the road and beat Nebraska and maybe get to 7 or 8 wins, probably the bowls that I just mentioned will not be likely places. They could play in a little bit more of a prestigious or a little higher place bowl than the three I just named.
Yeah, I think the old phrase is your ears must be burning, because I literally just, while we were speaking, put the finishing touches on just kind of my first sort of look at the bowl field. I'd held off until this week, but you know, once Indiana's at 5-2, I think it's fair to kind of take a look at the bowl projections and things and look at where everything falls out. I mean, we could do projections based on every record, but, you know, basically there's two big factors. Number one is obviously Indiana's own record. That's, you know, that should probably even just go without saying. The better Indiana finishes in the conference, the better Indiana's conference record, the more conference teams Indiana beats. I'm thinking about a Michigan, for example, again, also a Nebraska as well. The more likely Indiana is to move further up the bowl structure. The other question would be how many Big Ten teams get gobbled up by the playoff plus the New Year's Six. At this point, everybody has Ohio State in the playoff. I think a lot of people have Penn State in the New Year's Six. Wisconsin was also very much in that conversation until, of course, they lost to Illinois on the road on Saturday. That didn't do anybody any favors that's thinking about sort of moving up the bowl structure in the Big Ten. But between Wisconsin potentially finishing strong, and you look at actually Minnesota, Iowa still has Penn State, still has Wisconsin on its schedule. Minnesota undefeated 7-0, played a soft schedule to this point, but some pretty big games coming up. Minnesota could play itself into that kind of contention as well. And the more teams the Big Ten puts in the playoff plus the New Year's Six, obviously the further, you know, everybody just kind of moves up one spot in the rest of the bowl pecking order. It basically, in descending order, breaks down to Citrus Bowl, Outback Bowl, Holiday Bowl, Gator Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl, Red Box Bowl, and then the two at the bottom that the Big Ten doesn't always fill, the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit and the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas. If Indiana was at 6-6, they would be, I think, locked into Pinstripe, Red Box, Quick Lane, just depending upon where at 6-6 they fell in that sort of that last mixture, how many teams are in the playoff in the New Year's Six, how many teams does the Big Ten have left, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If they got to 7-5, I think the Gator Bowl would be firmly in play. I know a lot of people will want the Music City Bowl to be an opportunity. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I'd be very, very surprised. The Music City Bowl and the Gator Bowl have a sort of informal arrangement, or not informal, but they each take an SEC team every year and they trade ACC and Big Ten teams. There's not a formal rotation like where, you know, in certain years they have to take from this conference and in certain years they have to take from this conference. But the Music City Bowl has taken three straight Big Ten teams, so it seems all but certain that the Music City Bowl will take an ACC team this season. If Indiana got up to 8-4, then I think you'd be bringing in potentially the Outback Bowl, the Holiday Bowl, games like that. And, you know, I mean, there'd be appeal there. The Holiday Bowl, Indiana's in the 40th anniversary of its Holiday Bowl win over BYU this year. Obviously, the Outback Bowl's in Tampa, so there'd be a ton of, you know, Indiana-Tampa storylines. Indiana's got a Tampa area quarterback, a lot of Tampa talent, even a coach that's got a lot of strong ties to Tampa. So you might be able to get kind of more into that range if Indiana got to 8-4. But there's just a lot of moving parts still. And what I wrote in the piece that I just turned in is that this is kind of the peril of being so close to bowl eligibility so early in the calendar. And in recent years, we've not really been able to talk about Indiana as a serious bowl threat until the last two or three weeks of the season. This is the closest Indiana's been to six wins since 2007, this early in the calendar. That just means there's a lot left to shake out. And Indiana still has, you know, a lot that it can do to kind of determine its own bowl future. As I said, talking about a Nebraska, talking about a Northwestern, certainly talking about that Michigan game on senior day in November.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, great stuff on IU football. Going to be very fun to follow this team the rest of the way to see if they get bowl eligible, and if they can they succeed past the six-win total that's a minimum for bowl eligibility, and a lot of exciting moments ahead, I think, for this team. Zach, I do want to quickly get some basketball in with you before we let you go. Indiana and Marquette played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse over the weekend in a secret scrimmage, a closed exhibition game. No media, no fans. In fact, Marquette had a quick highlight video from this scrimmage, and it was kind of eerie watching some big shots go in. Of course, they were Marquette highlights, not Indiana highlights. And the only applause, the only crowd you have are players on the benches and no fans in the stands at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which is not a scene that we're used to seeing, at least for a competitive type up and down game. But that said, the box score was released, and there have been some other notes that have made their way out. And again, I mentioned the Marquette highlight video of some of their key plays in the game. Final score reported was Marquette beating Indiana 72-69. I ran through some of the highlights of the box score earlier in the show today. But I tell you what, some interesting things. Rob Phinisee, Devontae Green, neither played. No big injuries reported for either of those guys. It just seems like it was for precautionary reasons, much like why they didn't play in the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage a few weeks ago. Newcomers, how about Armon Franklin? He gets some key minutes down the stretch, it looks like, and also had a nice performance overall for this team. He's one of the newcomers that I probably have mentioned least other than on the program, other than recognizing that he did make some big, big gains in his senior year at Indianapolis Cathedral, even after he made his commitment to Indiana. But Trace Jackson Davis, Joey Brunk, it looks like, according to the box score, they played very well. Some interesting things to take away. A loss, obviously, and I'm sure that it was a structured type, maybe some situational stuff as well. So not a true game, but definitely when you just look at the box score, not seeing any possessions, not seeing very much come out media-wise or report-wise, some interesting things to take from that box score for this Indiana team, and I'm curious maybe what stood out to you.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing was it appeared Archie Miller got a whistle for a technical foul in the first half.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it said coach's technical foul. I'll be pretty disappointed if it emerges that it was, you know, he wandered too far out of his coaching box or something like that. I think you mentioned a lot of the highlights. Armon Franklin leads Indiana in scoring. And apparently, kind of according to what I heard, and I think a couple other people suggested this as well, basically played a lot of the end of that game alone as a guard for Indiana because Finney and Green were out. And I think also because Indiana, you know, that's a little bit like a preseason NFL game. That's an opportunity to see what you have in Armon Franklin. You know, throw him into the deep end a little bit. If you feel like he's had a good start to his Indiana career, and obviously I'm talking about the summer, the preseason, all those things, and it sounds like, you know, early results have been positive. I think that that's an opportunity to maybe say, hey, Armon, you know, we need you because these guys are hurt and we don't want to overdo it with these other guys there for. We're going to give you some big minutes here. We're going to put you in some big spots. You know, we're going to ask you to run an offense. We're going to ask you to guard Marcus Howard. We're going to, we're going to basically require a lot from you and see what you can give us in return. Again, a little bit like an NFL preseason game where you're less worried about the result than you are worried about what maybe comes out of it. The free throw shooting number was noticeable and concerning. I think if you're Indiana, I think they were 24 of 43 in that game. And so on the one hand, you say, hey, if Indiana can, you know, shoot 43 free throws a night, they'll be in pretty good stead. But if they only hit 24 of them a night, that's obviously pretty concerning. And I think that from IU's perspective, you need to get guys like Trace Jackson Davis a little more consistent from the line because you imagine they're probably going to draw a lot of fouls. You also need to get, Demaze Anderson, I think, was 0-4 from the free throw line. And you need your guards and wings need to be guys that you can count on from the line just every single time out. They were 5 of 10 from behind the arc. That's probably encouraging, but it's obviously also a low sample size. Also, maybe a little bit kind of a reminder that at the end of the day, this team is likely to be much more sort of inside dominant in scoring. Now, of course, this is without Devontae Green and Rob Finney. All indications are that those guys didn't play simply because they were, you know, kind of held out for precautionary reasons, same as Hoosier Hysteria. Obviously, at some point, if you're an Indiana fan, you're going to want the comfort of seeing them on the floor and you know, recognizing that they are no longer precautionary, that they're no longer being held out for precautionary reasons. But that's going to affect your perimeter scoring and your three-point shooting pretty significantly as well. You would imagine those are two of the guys that are probably going to shoot a lot of threes, particularly Green this season, Devontae Green. And then the other one that jumps out as we continue to kind of monitor this stuff is Jerome Hunter. He played about 14 minutes. That's on the back of playing all of that eight-minute scrimmage continuous without stopping in Hoosier Hysteria. And so as we continue to kind of talk about how is this leg condition going to affect him this year and what does that even mean and, you know, how closely is he going to have to be monitored? Well, it's encouraging to see that he can step up and play, you know, another 14 minutes and he can give you extended minutes again and again and again. So I think there's some encouraging stuff from Indiana. Again, as you said, you know, it's a little bit – you don't want to take too much from this because it probably wasn't just played like a start to finish 40-minute game. It probably is something much more approximating an NFL preseason game, but from a basketball perspective. But I think you get an early look at some of the good and some of the bad for Indiana, obviously with, hey, the first exhibition game is, I think, in 8 days. So it's almost here.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, great stuff. Starting with IU football, then IU basketball, their narrow loss in a closed secret scrimmage as we term them, on Sunday against Marquette. Zach, thank you as always. We will catch up with you next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us to talk IU stuff. We're going to switch gears in the next segment and have Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown AD and IHSA board member, with us as he is every week to talk some local sports. High school football, the regular season's over with as of Friday night. We're now headed into sectional play this coming Friday night. We'll talk that. We'll talk the Start girls basketball. First official practices today across the state of Indiana, which means the boys' season is even that much closer as well. We had some volleyball teams locally that found a lot of success as well. So local sports and more coming up with Chad Gilbert next. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment, a quick chat with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member representing our area. And he's with us every Monday. We talk local sports, high school sports, and more here in this segment with Chad. Chad, football sectionals begin on Friday night. That's hard to believe. We've got some really great matchups forthcoming, some big challenges as well for some of our local teams, and the start of girls basketball official practices today, which means they'll be playing games in just a few weeks. We've got the best of both right now. It's a busy time in the area and a busy time for you as an athletic director.
One of the busiest as an AD. And you think about coaches, you know, your fall sports are winding up, so you're collecting your uniforms, you're wrapping things up, getting ready for your banquet, and your winter sports are just starting. So it's an exciting time. The weather's changed. It's got that winter feel to it. And then for us Friday Night Lights, can you believe it, Matt? It's already been we're going on 10 weeks this week. You know, you think about it, when we were given rundowns week one at Silver Creek, you know, week two here against Brownstown, we were calling in back and forth. And this has been one of the quickest seasons and one of the best weather seasons, I might add, that I can remember as far as athletic director goes on Friday night. With the past couple of years, we've had a lot of rain. We've had great weather this year, which equals great gates. But you know what, the sectional coming around, you know, looking at the Sagarin and everything else, in the Mid-Southern Conference, there could only be one team that advances to week two, and that could be the winner of the Charlestown-Brownstown game, which, again, I'll go on record, I think Charlestown's going to win that thing Friday night. But that could be the only Mid-Southern Conference team that goes on to play in week two. You look at the Hoosier Hills Conference, you know, the Jeff New Albany game, whenever, you know, when it goes down, you know, it's always a big rivalry to go through there. And you'd have to think on that one, you know, with Bedford beating Jeff, that Floyd Central would probably be the favorite going in there. But Silver Creek, you know, has the best season in memory, and they go against East Central, who's liable to be playing in the Lucas Oil at the end of the year. So it's crazy how stuff works out. It's crazy how it goes. But it's a fun time of year for fans, for coaches, and most importantly for the student athletes.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, with me Mondays on the show. And we're going to talk a lot of high school football this week. We're going to preview all these sectionals and talk with some of the coaches. But I want to get one comment from you here on that Charlestown-Brownstown game. You've been very quick to project your team, your Pirates, are going to win it. You did updates for us, our high school football coverage, in week two, which seems like forever ago. And it was an opportunity that Charlestown had a great chance to win it. It kind of slid right through their fingers. I think a drop pass right through the hands of one of the Charlestown receivers. And I know the Charlestown Coach Hawkins, when we talk with him Friday night in our scoreboard show, is very excited about this rematch to start postseason play.
Well, Coach Hawkins, you know, congratulations to him on getting win 100 last Friday. So that's hard to do. It's hard to stay in it that long, and it's hard to coach that long. You know, coach kids with that type of passion and that type of fire that it takes to go every Friday night. So, you know, thumbs up to him on his 100th win and congratulations on moving forward. But, I think he feels the same way I do, that we're three plays away, that Charleston High School is three plays away from being undefeated this year. You know, we're three plays away from winning the conference. I feel like we gave the Silver Creek game away a little bit. I feel like we gave the Brownstown game a little bit. And, you know, when the tournament comes, the best players rise to the occasion. The best players generally win. And I feel like we've got the best player in Marion Lukes. I would think that Brownstown will get a heavy dose of Marion on Friday. And I just don't see how they can stay with us. You know, and when you're dealing with Reed May, you know what you're going to get. They're going to have a lot of misdirection. You know, they're going to roll his quarterback, spin him around, throw one downfield. And you got to take that play away. You can't be beat. You can't get suckered in. You can't turn the ball over. You got to keep him, eliminate his big play, and you got to have your big play. So I think Coach Hawkins knows that. I think the team knows that. I think we feel really confident playing at home this Friday.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Chad, sorry for the short segment. We'll make it up next week, but I'm glad basketball season is here. I look forward to continuing our conversations.
Matt, I look forward to it, too. It's this time of year that you and I really look forward to. You and I thrive in. It's something to look forward to covering.
All right, Chad Gilbert, thank you. We'll talk with Chad next week. And that wraps up a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Back with you tomorrow, 11 a.m. We have Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, and more coming your way. I'll talk to you then on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.